Every time they do that, I am amazed at how good a worship band that we have. There are not very many. There are not very many bands that could pull that off. Last week I talked about the song Away in a Manger. This week we're talking about another Christmas carol, the song O Holy Night. It was written in the mid-1800s. The story behind it is pretty interesting. A Catholic priest wanted a Christmas poem. And so he asked a guy in town named Placide Capot, who was a French wine merchant but was also known as a poet. And the priest asked him, would you write a poem based on Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story? And the interesting thing about it is that Placide was not a Christian. He was not a churchgoer. As far as we know, he was actually an atheist. He was very far from God, but he was a good poet. And so he wrote this poem in 1847. A few years later, it was put to music and very quickly became one of the most popular Christmas carols ever. Now, the interesting story goes on because about five decades later, in 1906, a 33-year-old Canadian professor named Reginald Fessenden did what many people thought was impossible at the time. He took a makeshift generator, plugged a microphone into it, and broadcast the very first AM radio broadcast in the history of the world on Christmas Eve in 1906. Up till that time, radio had only been used by the Navy and only for Morse code, so dots and dashes, never for an audio signal. And so on Christmas Eve in 1906, Fessenden broadcast from Massachusetts, and Navy wireless operators off the East Coast wondered if they had had a religious experience, because suddenly out of the midst of the Morse code dots and dashes that they were used to hearing through their headsets came the sound of a voice. And it was Fessenden reading the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, and then they heard Fessenden playing his violin, and he played the song, O Holy Night. And so this song was the first song ever broadcast on the radio. In case you want to impress your friends with trivia, you can ask, hey, what's the first song ever broadcast on the radio? Now you know. O Holy Night. Let's watch a video. Well, I know the video works because we tested it beforehand. We got a technical problem, Dan. All right.
Thrill of home, the weary world rejoiced.
Imagine what it would have been like to be there on that holy night. And we set up our little nativity sets on the mantle at home, and you know, they look so cute and so peaceful, right? But if you were actually there on that night, imagine the problems you would have been facing. And think about the world that you would live in. In fact, listen to what author Philip Yancey says about the world that Jesus came into. He says, "A succession of great empires tramped through the territory of Israel as if wiping their feet on the vaunted promised land. After the Assyrians and the Babylonians came the Persians, who were in turn defeated by Alexander the Great. He was eventually followed by Antiochus IV Epiphanes, the Jews' worst villain until Hitler. Antiochus began waging war against the Jewish religion. He transformed the temple of God into a worship center for Zeus and proclaimed himself God incarnate. He forced young boys to undergo reverse circumcision operations and flogged an aged priest to death for refusing to eat pork. In one of his most notorious acts, he sacrificed an unclean pig on the altar in the most holy place, smearing its blood around the temple sanctuary. Antiochus's actions so incensed the Jews that they rose up in an armed revolt that is now celebrated every year as the holiday Hanukkah. But their victory was short-lived. Before long, Roman legions marched into Palestine to squash the rebellion and appointed Herod their king of the Jews. After the Roman conquest, nearly the entire land lay in ruins. Herod was sickly and approaching 70 when he heard rumors of a new king born in Bethlehem, and soon howls of grief from the families of slain infants filled the town. First century Israel was a conquered, cowed nation. It was a sinister place with a somber past and a fearful future." And this was the setting into which came a teenage girl who was pregnant. And because of an order from the Roman dictator, this girl and her teenage fiancé are forced to travel about 100 miles, probably walking the whole way. We always see Mary riding on a donkey, right? But probably, that's not based on evidence from the Bible. They were probably too poor to afford a donkey. And so she probably walked the whole way at close to 9 months pregnant. That is difficult enough. But then once they get there to Bethlehem, there's no place to stay. They have to have the baby in a barn or a cave that used to shelter animals. They lay it in a dirty feeding trough. Mary has no family or friends around to help out. No doctor, no pain medicine, no epidural. We're talking about some real problems and trials here. This was a holy night, but it was not an easy night. It was not a trouble-free, peaceful night. This was a very difficult, chaotic, painful night. And because of that, there's a phrase in this song that we just listened to that I want to zero in on. The song says, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." Notice those words, weary world. What does that mean, weary world? It's a world that has a lot of problems. A world that has so many problems that it like wears you out, wears you down, it makes you weary because the bad news just seems to outweigh the good news most of the time. And if there is anything that describes our world today, it is weary world. Would you agree with that? I mean, it can get overwhelming with the war and terrorism and shootings and problems with the economy and politics and problems with health care. Just this past week, my wife Kathy found out from her work where we get our health care that her health care benefits were going to go from costing $400 a month to $1,000 a month starting in January. I mean, that is a weary world when a third of your income goes towards health care. You know, this world is a messed up place. It's got messed up relationships and divorced and damaged kids. Seems like every third person you run into has some kind of serious health problem. Families are struggling. It's like we're just fighting to stay above water a lot of the time. And so I think many people can relate to that phrase, weary world. But what I love about this song is that in the middle of the weary world, there is a thrill of hope. 2,000 years ago in the chaos of that holy night, there was a thrill of hope that maybe, just maybe, the Messiah would be born. The Messiah, the people of faith, had been waiting for centuries to come. There was a thrill of hope that maybe everything would be different once the Savior was born. There was a thrill of hope. And then suddenly, what does the weary world do? The weary world rejoices. And this morning, my goal is that if there's any weary world in you, and I know there is in me, that when, you know, areas that you're feeling worn down, worn out, all the problems and difficulties, my goal is that you will find the faith to rejoice, that you'll experience a thrill of hope in your weary world. Now, how is that possible? It's possible because even in the chaos and the problems and difficulties of that holy night, there is a glorious morn that's coming. What does that mean for us? That means that every time we start thinking about and getting caught up in our dark night and our difficult and our world, weary world and the problems, the pain, the stress that are wearing us down, wearing us out, we remember that after the dark night comes the glorious morn. A new day with a new Savior. When the sun comes up, the Savior has been born, and on that new and glorious morn, everything is different. Because one day with Christ can change everything. Let's look back at the Old Testament for a second, to the book of Lamentations. If you have your pew Bibles, it's page 562. Anybody know who wrote Lamentations?
Jeremiah.
All right, good. Somebody's read it. Anybody know what was happening in the Middle East at the time Jeremiah wrote this? Okay, I hear a couple clues to what was going on. Babylon had just attacked and conquered Israel. They had come in, devastated the city of Jerusalem, just, you know, burned it and it was destroyed, took most of the people in captivity back to Babylon, and the people who were left were in poverty, and just, it was destroyed. It was the worst time in the whole history of Israel. And in the middle of this was the prophet Jeremiah, who was lamenting what had just happened. He was whining and hurting along with everybody else. He just pours his heart out, full of hurt and pain, and that's the book of Lamentations. It's basically Jeremiah's complaint to God about how life sucks. You know, it's one of the most depressing books in the Bible. Really is. Except that right in the middle of Lamentations, there's like an interlude. There's like in chapter 3, there's like a switch. And for a few verses, it completely changes around. Jeremiah goes from sorrow and lamenting to like a moment of faith. Let's start reading in verse 19. I remember my affliction and my wandering. This is Jeremiah saying here. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. In other words, he is really depressed. He's downcast. He's not just trying to ignore reality and say it's all going to be good, and, you know, I'm like, I'm covering my eyes. Oh, you know, this didn't happen. No, he's acknowledging this is a weary world. It is depressing to think what's happening, what's out there. But what's the next word? Yet, he goes on verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Notice, this I call to mind. He says, I'm going to call something into my mind. I'm going to remind myself something. You ever done that? There's something that you know in your mind it's true. You know from past experience it's true, but you kind of forgot it for a while because, you know, life got stressful and you're worn out and stressed out. And so you have to remind yourself. You have to bring that back into your mind. Bring that truth back to your mind. That's what Jeremiah does here. He says, in the middle of my affliction, my bitterness, my gall, you know, even though my soul is downcast and I'm really depressed, in the middle of all that, I'm going to call something to mind. I'm going to remind myself of something. And because I remember this truth, then I will have hope when nobody else has hope. Because I know this to be true, I call to mind, therefore I have hope. What is it that he calls to mind? He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail, they are new every morning. What a great statement of faith. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, and his compassions never fail. Now, would you say that next line out loud with me? Ready? They are new every morning. They are new every morning. That is so key to understand. Even after the darkest night, even after the worst day of your life, God's love and compassion never fails. They are new every morning. That is true for you. God's love and compassion for you never fail, and they are new every single morning for you. He's got a new pile of love and compassion waiting for you every time you wake up, every morning, waiting for you. And this is so encouraging for Jeremiah that he kind of loses himself in praise and he starts talking to God. Up till this point, he's been talking about God, but now he's just got to talk to God. He says, God, great is your faithfulness. And then he goes on. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. From this scripture that we just read, I want to show you three truths that can bring you a thrill of hope in the middle of a weary world. Number one, every new day with Christ will bring you exactly what you need. Now, I didn't say that it'll bring you exactly what you want. It doesn't mean that you'll get everything under the tree this Christmas morning that you asked for. No, but every new day with Christ will bring you exactly what you need. In verse 24, Jeremiah says, I say to myself, how many of you know that every now and then you just have to talk to yourself? You just like got to preach to yourself some truth. You know, sometimes you got to be like the best preacher around because, you know, there's not always a preacher around when you need one. And so you got to open up God's word. You look at the scriptures and you apply them to your situation. You say to yourself what the truth of God is. You say it to yourself. You apply it to your situation. That's what Jeremiah did right here. He says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. What does that mean? The Lord is my portion. Most scholars believe this is referring back to the time when Israel was wandering in the desert and God would provide for them their daily food, the manna, every morning, their daily portion of heavenly manna. So every day they would wake up and the food would be waiting for them on the ground. God would give them exactly enough for that day. If they tried to hoard any for the next day, it would rot and spoil. The food wouldn't last. So God provided just the portion that they needed for each day. You see, God was trying to teach them something. He was trying to teach them that they needed him every single day, just like you and I do. It's like in the New Testament when Jesus taught us to pray, give me today my what? My daily bread. Not my weekly, monthly, or yearly bread. My daily bread, because I need God every single day. God wants us to learn that. And so I call this to mind. I say to myself, the Lord is my daily portion. He is exactly what I need today. And I can also count on the fact that tomorrow he will have exactly what I need for tomorrow. You see, God is already in tomorrow. I don't know if you realize that, but God is outside of time. He is already there. He has already gotten everything that you need for tomorrow before you even get there. If your marriage is struggling, God is already in tomorrow waiting for you, and he is what your marriage needs. If you're weak today, God is already in tomorrow, and his strength is made perfect in your weakness. If you're down and depressed today, God is already in tomorrow, and his strength, his joy, he says, I will be the lifter of your head. It's waiting for you tomorrow. A new day with Christ always brings you exactly what you need. And what you need most of all is God's presence, his reality, his strength, his power, his goodness. Jeremiah says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. A new day with Christ brings us exactly what we need. Second, a new day with Christ brings us the hope to keep going. Joss Whedon is a famous screenwriter and producer. He wrote and directed the movie The Avengers, big, huge hit. He co-wrote the movie Toy Story. He's the creator of the television series Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and several others. So this guy's really successful. You'd think that he'd be pretty optimistic, right? He was interviewed recently by Entertainment Weekly, and they asked him if he had hope that the human race is becoming smarter and better. He said, I think we're actually becoming stupider and more petty. What's going on in this country and many countries is beyond depressing. It's terrifying. Sometimes I have to remember who I'm talking to. I'll say something about how terrible things are and meaningless, and the world is headed toward destruction and war and apocalypse. And at one point, my daughter goes, "Hey, I'm 8. She doesn't want to hear that stuff. But I can't believe anybody thinks we're actually going to make it before we destroy the planet. I honestly think it's inevitable. I have no hope." That is a weary world that he's talking about, where you have no hope. Now, maybe you don't worry about the destruction of the planet like he does. But when you're waiting for test results from the doctor, you start asking, is there hope? When you're standing at the bedside of somebody at the hospital, you just start asking, is there hope? When a married couple has worked and worked and they're trying to make the marriage better, but it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere, you start to ask, is there hope? When you're job hunting like forever and it's not happening, or maybe you hate your job and you're stuck in it, you start to ask, is there hope? When your kids are going the wrong direction and nothing you do seems to work, you start to ask, is there hope? Somebody said that people can live 40 days without food, they can live 8 days without water, they can live 4 minutes without oxygen, but they can't even live a few seconds without hope. There are so many people today trying to survive on hope deprived lives. People search frantically, looking everywhere around to find something or someone to give them hope. But they're putting their hope in all the wrong places. Some of you know the stock market can be a very risky place to put your hope. You know that a company or a job can be a very risky place to put your hope. And even, and maybe especially, people can be very risky places to put your hope. They'll let you down every time. We put our hope in the wrong places, and then people let us down, and we start to lose hope because our hope is in the wrong place. Verse 25 of Lamentations 3 says, "The Lord is good to those whose," what? "Whose hope is in Him." The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. I love what Hebrews 10:23 says about hope. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise." I love that picture. Let us hold tightly. It's like you're grabbing on with both arms. You know, grab hold. Don't let anything make you let go of that hope. Don't ever let go, because God can be trusted to keep His promises. You know, there are too many of us that the first bad thing that comes along, or we get stressed out, we get upset and discouraged about something, and we just let go of our hope. Right at the time we most need to grab on tightly and hold on, we forget that we can depend on God to keep His promise. Instead of holding on tightly to our hope, we let go of that and we start grabbing on to the fear and anxiety of this weary world. And we need to do the exact opposite. Let go of the fear and the anxiety and the stress and the panic and the doubt, and hold on tightly to our hope. Hold on tightly to our trust in God, knowing that He will keep His promise. Don't ever lose sight of what one new day in Christ can bring. Yes, this can be a weary world at times, but in the middle of the weariness, there is a thrill of hope, and the weary world can rejoice. Why? Because there is a new morning coming, a new and glorious morn that comes, and a new day with Christ can change everything. One more thing that we see in this scripture. Number 3, a new day with Christ brings the help that you're seeking. Verse 26 tells us, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Now, the word salvation can mean a couple different things. So we tend to just think about, you know, what Jesus did for us on the cross, and He saves our souls so that we can go be with Him in heaven, and it does mean that. And some of you probably do need the salvation of your souls because you haven't become a follower of Christ yet. But that doesn't apply to most of you. Most of you have made that decision. You've been born in the family of God. You don't need that. But the salvation of the Lord applies to all of your life. Not just your soul, not just for the future someday when you die. No, it's some of you need the salvation of the Lord for a situation that you're in right now. You need to be saved out of a difficult situation. Maybe you've got things going on in your health or in your relationships or your work situation, and it is so difficult that unless God steps in and does something, it ain't going to happen. You need the salvation or the saving power of God in your situation. And if that is true for you today, then never lose sight of the fact, do not ever underestimate the difference that one day with Christ can bring. You cannot even imagine the difference that one day with Christ can make. There's a guy in the Bible named Lazarus. He'd been dead for 4 days. He was so dead that he was smelling bad. I like what the King James says about this. It said, he stinketh. I mean, if it says you stinketh, you know that you've been dead for a while, right? 4 days, everybody giving up hope. Then Jesus shows up, looks into the grave, says, Lazarus, come forth. We know the story. If Lazarus were here today, he would say, it is amazing the difference that one day with Christ can bring. There was a lady who had been for 12 years suffering with constant bleeding. For 12 years, can you imagine the pain and the humiliation and the constant suffering for 12 years, every day hoping, maybe this will be the day that it stops. Maybe I'll be healed today. Maybe, you know, this will be the day. For 12 years, she suffered. And then Jesus shows up and she's healed. If she were here today, she would say, it is amazing the difference that one day with Christ can make. Another man was born crippled. For 38 years, he lay by the pool of Bethesda, hoping to get healed. Every day thinking, maybe this will be the day that I get healed. Maybe today, maybe. For 38 years, he suffered. Then one day, Jesus showed up, and he's healed. If he were here today, he would say, it is amazing the difference that one day with Christ can make. Some of you are suffering. Some of you have things going on in your life. You're in a weary world right now. It's wearing you down. And you're wondering if it's ever going to get better. You're wondering if things are ever going to change. I'm telling you, there is a thrill of hope that will make your weary world rejoice. There is a new and glorious morn that is coming. You may look at your marriage and think, you know, it's never going to be what I hope for. It's never going to get better, but don't you give up hope, because it is amazing the difference that one day with Christ can make. Some of you have serious health problems, or maybe somebody you love has a serious health problem, and it's starting to wear you down, and you're starting to lose hope. But we serve a God that heals. And if you will not give up hope, but instead hold tightly to your hope and faith, it is amazing what one day with Christ can do. That's the good news of Christmas. In the middle of this weary world, in the middle of this chaotic, dark night, Jesus was born so that you and I can have hope. A new day with Christ brings you exactly what you need. A new day with Christ gives you the hope to keep going. And a new day with Christ can bring you the help that you're seeking. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 11. If this verse isn't one of your favorites, it probably ought to be. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. God is saying that to some of you this morning. He's saying that your night is nearly over. Your day is almost here. Your darkness is nearly over, because the sun will rise again, and there will be a glorious new morning. Your salvation is nearer now than it was yesterday. Your salvation, your deliverance from that situation, that answer that you've been praying for, it's nearer now than it was yesterday. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. God is saying that to some of you this morning. The sun always rises again, and the Son of God is risen again. And because he was born into this weary world, there is a thrill of hope, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Let's stand for prayer, and I'd like the worship band to come up for a closing song. Will you bow together with me as they come up? Some of you right now would say that you're in a dark season of life. Maybe it's relationships that are struggling, or financially it's dark, or job struggles, maybe no job at all. Maybe you're out buying and spending money that you don't have, and it's just wearing on you. Some of you are dealing with sickness, with yourself or somebody close to you. Maybe you feel like you're in a season of darkness and you need a touch from God. With our heads bowed, if that's true of you, would you just lift your hand quickly and then I want to pray for you. God, I pray for all of those who lifted their hands. God, you know exactly what's going on with each person, what each person is going through. And I pray that they would find the joy that comes in the morning, that even right at this moment, spiritually, that this could be their new day. God, would you give each person here exactly what they need? We thank you in advance for all the ways that you're going to strengthen us and encourage us and give us hope and faith. Would you help us to see your goodness and love at work in our lives? Help us to worship you for it. Now, as we continue praying together, I want you to think about something. A non-Christian wrote this song, O Holy Night. What does that tell us? That tells us you can know the story. You can know the story of Christmas without knowing the Savior of the world. You can know the story without knowing the Savior. Maybe some of you know the story. Maybe you've even heard it 100 times, but you're not sure that you really know the Savior. Maybe you've been looking all over the place for something that fills the emptiness inside, but you can't find it, because that can only be found in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Or maybe you've been thinking, you know, I'll just try to be a good person, and hopefully at the end of my life, the good works will balance out the negative stuff, and then I'll experience the salvation of God. Let me tell you right now, that will not happen. If you try that, you're rejecting everything that Christ did for you on the cross, and God will not accept you into his family. However, the Bible tells you that you can call on him today. You can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, and then you will be forgiven. And you will be changed. Your emptiness will be filled. And so if you want that, you can pray along with me right now. What better time to do that than in Christmas of 2013? Just pray with me something like this in your heart. Heavenly Father, would you save me from my sins? Make me new. You're the salvation that I seek. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you for new life. I give you mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.